From Coral Springs High School in sunny Broward County, Florida, the name of this podcast is Pulled Up. Here we go. Hello, and welcome to Pulled Up, the podcast where Coral Springs High School teachers tell us about the films that pulled them up so they could come in and pull up our students every single day. My name is Russell Aronson. I'm the Cambridge School Support Coordinator and ACE Media Studies teacher at Coral Springs High School. Behind the cameras and on the boards, we have Mr. John Place, Coral Springs High School TV production teacher, and our guest for this episode is the one and only Amanda Mortimer. Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be here.
We are excited to have you here.
Yay. Mr. Place has such a cool setup for this podcast.
I'm saying, right? This place is unbelievable. And we're going to do it justice today. That's what we're going to do.
I like that.
Yeah. So we've got three segments in this podcast. We start off talking about the career and stuff like that. And then we're going to talk about your chosen movie, Freedom Writers. And then you get what a part I love. You get to answer questions from your own students.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, on the hot seat. You had quite the you had the highest number of questions of any teachers in the podcast series. So
I like to be mysterious.
Well, we are going to just blow that out of the water today. Okay, so let's talk about before Coral Springs High School. How did you get into ag science and how did you get into teaching?
Before I got into ag science, I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Yeah.
I did everything right in high school. I took AP classes. I did dual enrollment. I applied to University of Florida. Go Gators. unfortunately, I did not get into UF, which a lot of people do not know. So I took a less traditional route and did community college, and where I stumbled upon my love for agriculture there.
Yeah.
I was self-seeking different career paths. Veterinarian school wasn't working out. And I met with a guidance counselor. And she offered me a way to educate and still work with animals. So that's where agriculture education came into the picture.
All right. And what was it like taking the ag science courses in college? What do you remember most fondly about that?
So I did end up at UF eventually. So just, you know, note to self, to everybody, that eventually you end up where you're supposed to be.
That's unfortunate.
But the agriculture education courses at UF were amazing. They were super small, intimate seating. So normally classes could be like 200 people. Mine's were like 30 people, and we really got to know our professors. Even to this day, I still keep in touch with a few of my professors. So
that's fantastic. And as we're going to see, I think that's kind of a theme that's going to be pulling everything we're going to talk about today together. Okay, so then how'd you get here?
So Coral Springs High School will follow you everywhere. No, I'm just joking. I was attending a job fair my senior year at UF, and they had representatives, assistant principals at the job fair recruiting for teachers. And they're like, hey, we don't have an ag science program, but we're willing to open up, you know, a new innovative program for our school. And they offered me the job and I took it.
Very cool. So you get your chance, right? You're going to get to start from the ground up the ag science program. And what did you want to start with first? What was like priority one?
Priority one was definitely the animals, bringing the animals to the school. And the original principal when I was hired was super open and supportive about it. So we had bunnies, guinea pigs, fish, chickens, which we still have today. Yes, we would get guest speakers to come in and Bring in all types of animals, flying squirrels, stuff like that. So
flying squirrels. I miss the flying squirrels. I'm very upset about that. Aww. I would have skipped my class to see that one. Okay, so how long do you feel like it took you to kind of like get the program up and running? And how did you know you're like, okay, this is working?
It probably took me 2 to 3 years to really get things like running and grooving. I would say I finally knew because a student wrote me a letter. You know, we do a lot of things day to day, and it feels unappreciative for the most part. I know most teachers feel that way. And this one student, I'll never forget her name, Danielle, she wrote me this really long note and passed it to me. And she really appreciated everything that I was doing, all the new experiences that she was able to like have because of my class. So that's how I knew I was on the right path.
It's amazing how these, just a handwritten note makes all the difference in the world. And again, that's going to kind of link to everything that we're talking about today and the writing and everything. But that's really cool. So then the cheerleading side of things, how did that develop?
Yes. So I was a cheerleader in high school, middle school. I did do a year of college cheerleading as well. So when I came to Coral Springs, my focus was on like my program and building it. And then an opportunity arose around my third or fourth year for me to like take over the cheer program. And I was talked into it by a few like old cheerleaders, but even though there was like some reluctance, I took it over and now it's like a part of me. I can't leave Coral Springs High School cheer for whatever reason, but.
What do you like most about coaching cheer?
The girls might laugh about this, but I do love the family atmosphere that I can provide to them. You know, growing up in cheerleading, I felt like that was my second home, my second family. So being able to provide that to other girls or male students that are willing to join.
Always open to male students for cheer.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
So being able to provide that back really drives me.
And it seems like that family atmosphere thing, that's the through line. Because you talked about that with college, you talked about that with ag science, all of it. That's the motivator, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. I grew up in a strong like family atmosphere. So having that in college was super important. It helped build me, helped like keep me stable and supportive in that small like ag science community. And then also being able to provide that as a teacher.
Very cool. And I think this is probably a good time since we're talking about cheer. Your crew has won a few awards.
Yes.
So this, I wanted to give you a little time to brag. So please do.
We go to states every single year. So that's a huge accomplishment that, you know, I feel like is not common knowledge to everybody. Not everybody makes it to states, so my girls do pull it through every single season that I've been coaching. We came top 4 in regionals this past year. Yay!
Nice.
Yes. We beat over 20 teams to make it to state finals, so I'm super excited and proud of them for this season.
That's absolutely huge, and just more examples of the stuff that's going on here that a lot of people don't know about outside of here. And that's why we're glad to have you here. So I think that catches us up on how we got to here. But I think it's time to talk movies. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about your chosen film, Freedom Riders, back in just a minute. Thank you. And we're back to talk about Freedom Riders with Ms. Mortimer. So, I always begin by geeking out on the films because film media studies teacher. So I've got to do some research first. And the research wasn't too heavy duty with this. So I always like to call out names because people don't know. Freedom Riders is directed and written by Richard LaGravanese. He's also, it's 2007 film. He's also famous for films like Living Out Loud and Decade Under the Influence. And he's done way more writing than he's done directing. He's written about 30 screenplays and done adapted screenplays, including the one for Toni Morrison's Beloved. So he's got a pretty wide range. But a lot of the films that he works on are kind of social comment sort of films. So he doesn't do a lot of light entertainment. And I suppose that's why he wound up being a perfect match for this one. I think we have to take a minute to talk about the cast here because it's pretty unbelievable. Hilary Swank, who I believe is coming off a couple of Oscars at this point. Imelda Staunton, Patrick Dempsey.
McDreamy, anyone that doesn't know.
And spoiler alert, she doesn't keep McDreamy. She lets McDreamy go. Or does he let her go?
We're going to keep Hilary Swank. It's Women's History Month, so we'll keep her on a high note. Let that man go.
Okay. All right. So we're going to say Hilary let McDreamy go.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
We're going to stick with that one.
That's going to be the story, and we're sticking to it. And Scott Glenn plays her dad, which I think is a really impressive performance in it. He has this nice turn, which is really neat, which we'll kind of get to. But obviously the kids, I say kids because most of the actors here are in their 20s, but they were original Freedom Riders kids, a lot of them, which is what's really cool about it. And it is based on the true story of Erin Gruwell. So this all really happened. She's published a bunch of Freedom Riders books. There is still a Freedom Riders Foundation. So I guess we'll back up. So what is Freedom Riders then?
So Freedom Riders is about a woman who basically goes into like a lower socioeconomic community to teach, and she thinks it's going to be like a walk in the park. She thinks she's going to just like turn everything around. So like once she gets there, she's like, oh no, this is not going to be what I thought. And then throughout like different scenarios, she ends up winning like these kids over and is able to kind of like make a shift in her life.
And when did this film enter into your life, and why did you choose it?
So I think I mentioned earlier how I had like a straight narrow path, like I'm gonna be a veterinarian, like that's all I want to do, you can't tell me anything else. And then, like, once things started to come into play, I was like, okay, I need to reevaluate. And during, like, this little, like, self-discovery phase I was going through in college, I ended up, like, turning on the TV and Freedom Riders popped up. And it just, like, sold me. I was like, oh, I think I want to be a teacher.
Which part of it?
It was definitely when there's, like, this scene at the end or towards the end. She has, like, these notebooks that she hands out to the kids in the beginning. And nobody ever writes in the notebook. She's like, you know, write your feelings. She checks the notebooks almost every single day. Nobody has written anything. And then one day she goes to open up one of the notebooks and somebody finally wrote an entry for her, like in the notebook. And then that's when things start to like shift in the movie.
And I love that scene actually, because that was the open house. She looks at them and she has time because none of her parents are there. And that's when she opens it and she sees that first book, and it's that kind of turnaround. And I think many of us, depending on your career trajectory as a teacher, but I think we've all kind of had that moment in open house, and you're like, oh man, it's just so hard for the parents of my particular kids to get here, and you're there alone, and you end up having this weird 10 minutes where you kind of go through a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
You know, so I could relate to that. I was like, oh, yeah, I've definitely been there. That was interesting that she had that moment. So, okay, yeah, I just had to go off on that. And And so the whole narrative of the film is built really around those notebooks.
Yes.
If we kind of take away the Hilary Swank part for a minute, the Hollywood part for a minute.
Right.
And for me, that's when the story really takes shape. So which of the students' narratives, like, do you remember most? Did you find the most poignant and why?
I can't remember her character name, but there was a young lady who grew up in, like, a rougher part of town. And I just remember the teacher, like, trying, like, throwing out an olive branch to try to reach her, and it just never happened. And then one day she, I can't remember if she ventured into that part of town on purpose or not. But there was just, like, instant connection as soon as she, like, lowered herself down to, like, see what was actually going on in that student's life. And then that connection formed, and then things started to, like, again, shift in the movie.
Yeah, that point where their worlds kind of collide. Yes. A little bit, which I thought was pretty interesting there. And for me, when the one kid, and she's like, you know, what are your dreams? And the one kid's like, I'd like to live to see 18.
Yes.
And you're like, whoa.
Yes.
And it just kind of boils everything down to those basics that sometimes, you know, we tend to forget in the classroom and
right.
Much to everyone's peril. So do you revisit this film or is it just like it was that moment and now it's there, but.
It was definitely, like, one of those films that I've, like, maybe watched, like, 3 times. I definitely watched it again when I started teaching.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had to revisit. I was like, what was this film that made me want to teach again?
Was it different when you saw it again?
Yeah. I think after you become a teacher and then you watch other people play teachers in real life, you're like,
I think it's fair to throw a little shade at the film for being a little bit Hollywood about teaching.
Right.
I think we can all agree that Hollywood rarely gets teaching right. So what looking back on it where you're like, oh, no. Because I have my definite picks, but I want to hear yours. I'm always curious.
I would have to say that there's this... And it does happen in the classroom. It's just, like, not, like, 100% going to happen to the entire classroom, where you do, like, build these relationships with students and then you kind of, like, gain everybody's, like, respect, everyone's attention. And I feel like she did that after the turning point where everyone, like, was listening, buying into her and, like, yeah, that's our dream in the classroom. And, yeah, it'll happen, like, every now and then, but... she really, like, held the movie makes you think, like, okay, this happens every day now that I've, like, built this relationship with them. And, you know, kids struggle with their own stuff every day. So, you know, who you're going to get and how they're going to feel varies. But I feel like the movie, like, sold me on, like, yeah, once you build that relationship, once you buy, like, get them to buy in, it's
just straight sailing.
Straight, smooth, never any problems. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing about teaching. It's like right when you think you've got it all right, that's when you really take it in the chin.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, oh, yeah, I've got it all worked out. And then you walk in and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. You definitely find your pride.
Yeah.
Real quickly. Yeah. You know, for me, from a film standpoint, it's the classrooms in high school films. They're always these classrooms that have all these huge open windows.
Oh.
And there are no fluorescent lights on and it's all natural light bathing everybody. I'm like, no, it's fluorescent lights. And you're lucky if you've got a one window,
yeah.
Let alone these huge floor to ceiling windows going all the way through.
That's a good one. I did not even realize.
It bothers the heck out of me. I'm like that. I mean, because, you know, it's nobody's going to want to watch it if, and this is kind of a note to everybody who might be involved with building schools and budgets and things like that. If everybody's sitting there in blue green light and no windows, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
So if Hollywood won't show it to you that way, what makes you think kids want to feel that every day?
Yeah.
Or teachers every day? So it's kind of the filmmaker in me, but it's also the teacher of 27 years is like, every time you give me a window, it's like that's a better year.
Got it. I'm also spoiled because I do have a window in my classroom.
You have a window in your classroom and you have a whole garden too.
And a whole garden, a whole outdoor area to escape to. So.
And man, that garden is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
That garden is absolutely beautiful. But I think that actually is going to provide us with a good transition here, because otherwise we're just going to really start picking apart Hollywood teaching versus real teaching. And I think anyone in any discipline could probably do that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back, and then you're going to get a chance to hear from your freedom writers, if you will, and because they wrote your questions.
Oh, that was so cute.
I know. See, it's an English teacher thing. It's about transitions. Here. It's about transitions. They don't care. So we'll be back in just a second, and you're going to answer some questions from me too. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Some say the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh and the deeper the roots. I give a holler to my sister's own welfare. Tupac kids, if don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. When you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. But please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive but don't forget, girl, keep your head up.
And we're back for student questions for Ms. Mortimer. Yay. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Yeah, well, did you look at any of the questions that you got?
I did see a few of them. And then I was just like, all right, maybe I should just not read them.
That's going to make this even more exciting. So you don't know which, she does not know which questions I have chosen. So here we go. We have our first question from Haley. Oh,
shout out Haley, first period.
Haley, first period. Shout out to all students who make it on time, first period. There you go. See? Timely. Okay. Haley asks, as a science teacher, what are your pet peeves?
Oh, love this question. So one of my pet peeves is that a lot of kids, you know, oh, this doesn't mean anything. We're never going to use this. And I'm like, science is used every single day. There are adults that wish they are going to learn the information that I am, like, willingly giving to you for free. And all you have to do is get off your phone for 5 minutes and open yourself up to the possibilities.
A, we're all always saying that, but B, how could it, your subject is, it's as real as it gets. You're growing food.
Yes. We're learning about what these food labels mean. We're learning how to grow the food that we eat. We're like, every adult that I meet is like, wow, I wish I had that class. And then it's like, I wish the students felt the same.
Yeah.
So, this is real life stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, talk about the exact opposite of pure book learning. So, yeah, I don't get that at all. But that makes it a good question from Haley. And
Haley.
Yeah, good pet peeve there. We have a second question. And I actually, many students had chicken questions. It was a whole. And Mr. Place is doing the chicken dance behind the camera, just so you're all aware.
So funny story, Mr. Place, wait, time out. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Place.
Is this safe for podcasting?
This is podcast PG friendly.
Okay, G-rated. All right. I just want to pause. I don't want to have to edit anything. Not that I would, he would, but that's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Place played a little funny prank on me. He bought like those little hands and put them on my chickens and then was like, you got to come out here. And like all my chickens were running around with like little T-Rex arms and they had like muscles on them. It was so funny.
Wow. Wow. Nice. Okay. See, I didn't even see that coming. I thought it was surprising you. You surprised me and everybody else. So yeah, chicken questions. So we're going to go with Melanie.
Melanie. Shout out Melanie, period one.
Well, you know, period one representing, you know, they're not just all showing up late and sleeping. They are actually on it.
Love that.
Yeah, it's a Mortimer thing. Which chicken has caused you the most trouble and why or how?
Ooh. So we called her Seven.
Seven.
Yes. 789. Just kidding. We, from the movie, there's a movie, a student, I think the Umbrella Academy.
Okay.
When we first got them, one of my chicken care students named the chicken Seven from the Umbrella Academy, if you've ever watched that.
All right.
So Seven is a problem child. She, anytime you go to put them away, she like runs. Like, and then I'm literally, if you ever see me after school in like the back garden area, I'm just like running around the coop trying to catch this chicken to put it inside. She's just like the most stubborn, hard-headed one.
Seven won't have it.
Seven won't have it.
Any other good chicken names?
We have Hennifer.
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 That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's nice. Hennifer. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a little embarrassed to say this. So when we first got, so we had chickens before and we named them. Unfortunately, they passed on to Chicken Heaven. Mm-hmm. So when we got these new chickens, I was a little scared to get attached. So sure. We named two of them, and then we named the other one 6, 7, 6, 8, and 9, because okay. 7, 8, 9.
Ooh.
Listen, we'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Okay.
I promise this time.
All right. Maybe you need to have a chicken naming contest.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Shout out Period One, who might be doing that.
It could be a school-wide thing. It could be PR for the thing, you know? Chicken naming contest.
We can do that for the morning announcements everyone watches. We're so excited for those.
That's good. We have more work from Mr. Place. Mr. Place, chicken naming contest. There we go. All right. We've got that. Chickens covered, but not entirely done discussing animals. Dimitri.
Wow.
Period One.
Period One.
Whoa.
Period One and Five. Dimitri does have me three times.
Dimitri has you three times.
Yes. Dimitri Impressive. Has me three different times.
It'll be okay, Dimitri. It'll be okay. would you get more animals? If so, which kind?
I would get more animals once there's a little bit more growth in my program as far as like students being committed. To like finish the program out from like Ag Science 1, Animal Science 2 and 3. But I would love to get a goat.
Ooh.
Yeah. So goat and definitely reconsidering bringing back the guinea pigs.
Okay. Goat and guinea pigs.
Yes.
And so in your ideal world, how many years would it be a 3-year program, a 4-year program?
In my ideal world, it would be a 4-year program. So... you know, you have me freshman year, ag science, and then continue all the way through.
And what, so just to try to give folks an idea about why you want to keep taking Ms. Mortimer's classes so it can grow, you get to do different stuff. So what sort of stuff would you be able to do if you had that growth that you can't do right now that might be exciting?
So the agriculture kids, they don't get to handle the animals. That's reserved for second year. So second year kids would do chickens. Third year would do like the goats, like the higher level animals. And then fourth year, I would love to do like some internship with like veterinarian clinics. Like we would be able to like go and like shadow or volunteer at animal shelters. Like I'd love to like grow it like that to make it more like applicable.
I think that's fantastic. And that shows that very often, students might wonder why we don't offer things. And sometimes we don't offer it because we don't have the students doing it. And it winds up being this chicken or egg problem.
Aha.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. Please take Ms. Mortimer's classes because the bigger they get, the cooler stuff everybody gets to do. So that's an important plug there. And now I guess we have to go to our last question, which is clearly the most important one from Irmani.
Oh, Period One.
All Period One, straight sweep. Irmani wants to know, why are you so funny?
Aw, and you know it's ironic? I never have seen Irmani laugh at my jokes.
Wow. That might be a good way to answer that question. I like that.
Yeah,
that's good. So, Irmani, if you want to know the answer to that question, maybe you need to laugh at her jokes every once in a while. So, I mean, they're jokes from a Florida gator, but, you know, throw her a bone, pretend they're funny. There you go. Wow, this has been great. Anything that you want to promote? Is there any stuff coming up either in cheerleading or in ag or whatever?
Yes, we have cheerleading tryouts for football and competition May 20th, 21st, and 22nd. If you need more information, swing by room 314. And I'd be happy to give you.
All right, folks, May 2021-22.
Yes.
Cheerleading tryout. So we'll definitely get this out well in advance of that. So put it on your calendars. We want to keep growing that great cheerleading program. And of course, course cards will probably be in by the time you see this. But if you have a change of heart after you watch this, see your guidance counselor and let them know, I want Ms. Mortimer's ag class, right?
Yeah, come on. We'd love to have you.
All right. That sounds good. Well, it's been fun.
Yes, this is so cool. Mr. Place's class is so cool. If you want to take his class, make sure you see guidance.
Wow, look at that. Aren't we just... And no one's promoting my class, and that's okay. That's fine.
Did I forget to mention ACE Study, Media Studies with Mr. Aronson?
ACE Media Studies. Look at what you're missing. You too can listen to me talk for hours about obscure things that directors and cinematographers created that only I care about. Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to thank some people, and then I'll thank you again one more time. So this has been Pulled Up, a co-production of the ACE Media Studies program at Coral Springs High School and the TV production program at Coral Springs High School. First, special thanks go to Mr. Place, who has been instrumental in making this happen, this lovely studio, and all of the expertise with the editing. I'm a film guy. I hate editing. So I'm so glad that he's on the computer pulling all this together. Also, special thanks to Dr. King for her sage wisdom and advice as we pulled all of this together and kind of helping us form this into something that would be really cool. Thanks to retired principal Ms. Suarez for green lighting this the first time, and new principal Dwayne Dixon for green lighting it a second time. Podcast logo was designed by ACE Media Studies students Brendan Kenny and Vanessa Romshall. And I also want to slide an extra thank you right now to Dr. Wong, who has been helping a lot of teachers cover their classes so they could come in here and do the recording. Dr. Wong, you rock. You're in season two already, man. Definitely. Finally, we'd like to thank the faculty, staff, and administration of Coral Springs High School for coming in every day and pulling everybody up. Until next time, thanks for listening. And remember, no matter where you go, there you are. Bye-bye.